Hey guys, welcome to our podcast, Heist and Slice, the true crime podcast where one week we talk about a heist, and the next we talk about a slice. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Nora.
And this week is a slice. So, Nora, take it away.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, so today is our listener request.
Yes.
Veronica Guerin.
Guerin.
That's how he said that it was said. He said, say it like Guerin really quick.
Really quick.
So do it. Do it for me. Say it really quick.
Guerin.
Sure.
Who's the requester? I mean, I know, Ken? But tell the audience.
Ken from Ireland.
Ken.
Do we know Ken's last name? Well, it's okay. We don't want to put your last name out there. Do you know it?
I think I do, but I... It's not Barker.
I feel like it's probably on his face.
Yeah, but I'm sure he doesn't want the world to know.
Right.
So.
I just guess I don't know it. I'm so sorry, Ken. Anyway, Veronica Guerin, who is also nicknamed Ronnie when she was younger. I think that's cute.
Nickname what?
Ronnie. I think that you should have a daughter and have a nickname that's...
I'm going to have a daughter and name her Dimitri Petrie.
You're not. Dimitri's fine.
You don't like the rhyming there?
I don't like Petri. That sounds like Petri dish. You grow in mold?
I mean, I'm growing something in my stomach.
That's true.
I mean, not right now. I'm not pregnant.
You might have just jinxed yourself.
You gotta have sex to get pregnant.
Okay.
Haven't had any.
Thank you for the sex ed talk, Shelby.
Okay.
So, Ronnie was born in 1959. She was one of five children, born to a Dublin-based accountant and his wife.
Okay.
She received her education in the Catholic schools of Dublin's North Side.
Okay.
She was not, we're not laughing at Ronnie, we're laughing at each other.
I feel like this is not one we should laugh at, because no, I know a little bit about this one. It's rough.
We're laughing at each other, not at the topic tonight. It's going to be dark, I mean, it's a slice, so we try to figure out how we're going to put our humor on things when we really can't.
We're drunk.
No. Shelby.
I'm drunk.
So it's a slice with a twist, and that would be Shelby being drunk. Anyway.
It's rough.
She was quite the athlete in school, playing Camogie. I guess that's how you say it. Camogie? I don't know. It's similar to lacrosse / hurling. She also played soccer and basketball. Soccer actually was like what she preferred, and it actually became like one of her lifelong passions. Guerin was also a huge supporter of England's Manchester United professional soccer team.
Ooh. Yeah.
After studying accounting at Trinity College, Guerin joined her father's firm, but left after his passing in 1983.
Aww.
So you're going to hear my pages rustling, sorry. We're learning. Figuring out how to not make things so loud. She went on to start her own public relations company in 1990.
Yes.
In 1990, 7 years later, she took on journalism. She started out as a writer for Dublin's Sunday Business Post and then followed as a reporter for the city's Sunday Tribune. In 1994, Guerin became an investigative reporter for the Sunday Independent, the largest circulation newspaper, weekend newspaper in Ireland.
Ooh, so she's an investigative reporter.
She's an investigative reporter, which is not something I would want to be.
No.
I'm a writer, but I would not want to be a reporter. I'm not that cutthroat. And she is actually really cutthroat. We're going to get there.
She's a badass.
She's a bitch. She is a hardcore
badass.
She is the bitch. Miss bitch. Queen bitch. Anyway. Guerin specialized in crime stories. She made a very good name for herself in the international journalism circles for her hard-hitting articles that were set out to expose the truth about Dublin's drug trade and the organized crime gangs that controlled it. So, you know, Dublin's mob scene, basically.
Dublin's mob. This is after Cahill, though, right? Or Cal. When Ken's going to be disappointed. He died in 94.
So, yes. Yeah, because that said 1994, she became the investigative writer. So, I wonder if he's what started it.
Maybe.
That would have been good for me to look into, but I did not.
Because at first I thought she was the one that exposed everything, like the thing that came out that kind of ended them, but it was before she got into
it. I'm sure she probably reported on it at some point in time, though, wouldn't you think? Maybe. I would say so. She was considered very bold. It was said that she even worked weekends and weeks at a time without taking any breaks. It is even said that she slept in her car many a night, and she even slept on the doorsteps of those who would not talk to her until they would actually talk to her. So she was like a fly on the wall that bothered them until they actually just spoke to her.
She was dedicated.
She was dedicated. She also did not... So this is like a little side note. The reason why she chose to like... The reason why she chose to go into like investigating crime and making those talk to her is because she didn't really agree with how police handled many of the cases. Like, they knew who was doing these cases, who was doing these crimes, but they just couldn't put them away.
Yeah, she well, we also learned in the Cal Hill one that the police just weren't prepared either.
Right.
For what was going down. Or, no, wait, the Guardi. The Guardi is what they're called.
Guardi?
Guardi. Remember?
Yeah. What were we calling? Garda? That's what we were calling them.
Yeah, but I think it's Guardi. I think. I don't know.
She also did not just rely on police information. If she couldn't get information, she went straight to the source itself. She would persuade many of them into talking to her and telling them the details of their activities.
So she just went right to the freaking criminal.
Yeah, to the criminal, to the mobster. She was like, hey, tell me some stuff.
Give me the deets to your criminal organization.
Now, she did keep to a strict Irish liberal law, stating that it was illegal for reporters to identify the criminals by name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she would instead call them by the street by their street names or pseudo names such as the coach or the monk.
Oh.
Yeah. So Ireland has, or used to, I don't know if they still do, had some type of law that would prohibit investigators from
I wonder why.
Releasing names. I don't know. We should probably look into that.
I am so hot right now. My kneecaps are sweating.
Ooh, nobody wants to know that. In October of 1994, Garen experienced her first serious repercussions to one of her stories. She had... I'm sorry, I can't read my own handwriting.
What month of 94?
October.
So October of 94. This is like 2 months after.
Yeah.
Cahill
was she experienced her first serious repercussions of one of her stories. She was playing in the living room with her youngest son, or her young son. Two bullets were fired into the window of her living room.
Jesus, what
she
was
she only had one child, by the way.
Story.
Here we go. This happened a month after Garen's story came out about the life of a Dublin kingpin known as the General, who had been found shot to death in his car.
Oh, Cahill.
I thought it was
Martin.
Like
we'll call him Martin.
Martin.
Or the General.
The General. So, yes.
All right. So, and if you don't know answer. Who that is, then that's our podcast, episode 17, Tango, Shower Incidents, and Stop Looking at My Notes.
Right. Yeah.
And it was Tango
a good
one.
It was a really good one. Take a listen.
Yeah. You should take a listen. Yeah. It's pretty good.
So, yeah. I guess I just didn't even realize that I've had that in my notes. But, yeah. So, two bullets into her living room over that story.
So she wrote about who killed him, or?
She just released a story a month prior to the bullets being fired into her home about a kingpin known as the General.
So, like, literally a month after he was murdered.
So probably who did it. She probably released, like, more information than what was probably.
Which, you can go back and listen to the other episode, but the Provisional Irish Army, I think is what it's called, took responsibility for it. But there was also speculations that maybe his old men killed him because they had like
a lot of conspiracy theories. Yeah. I actually kind of went down that when I was looking up some of her stuff.
Yeah, the Garda has not officially named a person. Yeah, but the Provisional Irish Army did claim responsibility for it.
Okay, so just a few months after, in January of 95, Garen opened her door to find a masked man pointing a gun at her face.
And this is 95?
95.
Okay.
January 95. He lowered his aim and shot her in the thigh.
Jesus Christ!
This man was never identified.
Jesus!
Garen stated she thought that it was that she was shot over an article that she had wrote about a $4.4 million heist that happened at that happened at a supposed secured depot near Dublin's airport. This is the largest cash robbery in Irish history.
Well, they took cash.
They took cash. $4.4 million.
Damn.
She actually interviewed the man that was chief suspect of the heist and declared him as the local head of crime syndicate.
And they still came and shot her?
They came and shot
her. But yet they're going to give her the information to write the article?
I guess. Oh my goodness. Well, no, they probably... I don't know how people think, how mobsters think, but I'm sure, like, she probably was able to get information from... What are they called? Like, intel people?
CIs?
No. Nowadays, they would call them rats. But, like... Somebody who plays both sides.
That tells the police?
Yeah.
Aren't they CIs?
Are they CIs? Oh, okay. Maybe. I don't know. Informants.
Criminal informant,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You're right.
And then with CIs? Criminal informants, yeah.
So after Garen leaves the hospital, she still has her husband, Graham Turley. Turley, maybe? T-U-R-L-E-Y? Turley?
Oh, gosh.
Take her to interviews with these crime bosses.
She stated, literally after she got out of the hospital,
she stated in an interview she did this to show that they did not intimidate her.
She would have to be on crutches, wouldn't she?
She was a badass. She was incapacitated either way.
Was it like a straight shot or was the bullet didn't go?
I mean,
the
gun was to her face. He lowered his aim, shot her in the thigh. So, I mean,
so the bullet probably went like in and out.
Oh, it went in.
And out.
In and out, probably.
Didn't have to dig it out.
Probably clean shot.
Still. Freaking would hurt.
Oh, for sure. She was either wheelchair bound or on crutches, but she was like, y'all don't scare me. Yeah.
She did not back down.
When she returned to work, her boss had security systems installed in her home and around the clock police escort that she canceled after a few days of having because she said it hindered her gathering information.
I mean, I could see that on her point. But, I mean, she's very dedicated.
She's just a badass.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
September 1995, Garen interviews John Gilligan. A prominent ex-convict of Dublin's underworld. She asked him how he lived such a lavish lifestyle. He owned a very nice horse farm. She asked him, how do you do this with no money? Like, how do you own such nice stuff
with having
no money? He answered her by ripping her off her shirt for... I'm sorry, I can't read my handwriting. He answered her by ripping off her shirt, checking for a wire, and then beating the shit out of her.
Jesus Christ!
He then called her and told her that if she ever published anything about him, that he would rape her son and kill her.
Right.
Her friends then would go on to state that she was fearless when it came to the line of work, but Gilligan shook her because he mentioned to harm her son.
I mean,
so geez. She's a little shook now.
Yeah. How old is her son? He's young, ain't he?
He's young. I think when I did my research, when they were playing in the living room, I think he was like two or three.
Oh, so he's only four or five now.
Yeah.
Jesus. This woman does not back down.
No. I mean, she's the bitch. I mean, people loved her. Like,
okay, don't call her the bitch. Call her the badass.
The badass bitch. The queen
the
bitch.
The badass. I don't like bitch.
I like bitch.
I don't like bitch.
Okay, she was badass. People, I mean, the Irish community loved her. Loved her.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Like, she was on route to be, like, A1... You know, when you think of, like, crime shows, who do you think of? You think of, like,
what's his name?
We talk about him all the time.
Oh, the Wash?
Yeah,
dude?
Wash. Adam Wash. His dad. What's his name?
Is it John?
John Wash. You think of him, and then there's also the guy that does the Dateline.
Don't watch him.
I can't think of his name now. Anyway, like, she was on track to be, like, big. Anyway. But nevertheless, she pressed on with her work, confident that her familiarity, this is a good one because I can't say this word,
familiar?
Familiarity?
Oh, familiarity.
With the mobsters she covered would give her some kind of invulnerability. I can't say that word either.
Wait, so...
She thought that she was invincible. Because she thought that the people that she was interviewing would have her back.
Why? Why would they have her back?
Because she thought that because they knew her so on a personal level because she was interviewing these people, that they would have her back. She really thought that.
But she wasn't writing good things about them, though, right?
Some of them she wasn't. I think she thought that her informants would, like, save her and they're
not going to. Oh, no.
In December of 1995, Guerin bravely and persistently... I'm sorry, that is not what that says. In December of 1995, Guerin's bravery and persistence won her the prestigious International Press Freedom Award from the Committee to Protect Journalism.
Oh.
Journalist. I'm sorry, not journalism. So she won a big award.
Cool.
On the afternoon of June 26, 1996, Guerin was alone in her car when she stopped at a traffic light in suburban Dublin. Didn't tell me where, you know, what street or anything. That's just what I came up with. And made a call to her friend when two motorcyclists pulled up and one opened fire, shooting her 5 times in the chest and neck, killing her instantly.
That, you know...
That's exactly how Cato died, right? I was about
to say, he got shot 5 times by a motorcycle that pulled up beside him and shot him. I didn't know that's how she died. That's kind of...
Then the men sped off into the traffic and escaped.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with Cahill. Martin. Exactly. Did anyone take...
Well, her death was met by shock, sorrow, and outrage by the Irish people.
I'm sure it did. And this was... What year again? Sorry.
96. June 26, 1996.
Oh, wow.
On the day of her funeral, the small chapel near the Dublin airport, where she and her family regularly worshipped, was packed with mourners, including Ireland's president, prime minister, and head of armed forces. Others watched on television. So it was also televised.
Dang. Yeah,
she was like...
I'm sure she was well known.
Yeah, she was well known. And to be this committed and be a mother and a wife, like...
Oh, so her son was probably, what, 6? No, her 4? Her son was
young.
4 or 5 when this happened?
Something like that.
That's so weird. That I didn't realize she was killed
the same way.
Pretty much the same way Cahill. Sorry, Ken, I'm disappointing you.
I thought it was
Cahill. Martin was killed.
We don't know. We're so sorry. We're Hicks from where we're from, so.
Yeah, but if you listen to episode 18, Ken does do a recording where he correctly pronounces this, so. Yeah,
he'll probably have to do it for here, too.
Yeah, because we don't pronounce it right.
On July 4th, there was a moment of silence. People on trains, buses, and in stores bowed their heads in silence.
Jesus.
Admirers lined up in front of the Sunday Independent to leave flowers and sign a condolence book.
How old was she?
I don't know. Sorry, I should know.
I mean, that's okay.
Well, she was born in 59. She was young.
Probably 40s?
I want to say early 40s, late 30s.
Late 30s, yeah. 40s?
I want to say like 37, maybe.
Wow. I mean,
In October of 1996, the Irish police charged a man named Paul Ward with conspiracy to murder and death of Veronica Guerin.
So they actually charged?
They charged this gentleman.
Okay.
Gilligan, who left Ireland for Amsterdam the day before the murder in September of 1996, he was scheduled to board another flight from London to Amsterdam when a search of his luggage found $500,000 in cash. He was arrested for laundering and selling illegal drugs.
And this is the dude that threatened to, like, rape her son, right? Yes.
Yeah, so they found it very odd that he fled the country before...
So was he connected to her murder?
They believe he was, but they're not sure. So they literally just arrested him for laundering and selling illegal drugs. May 2nd, 1997, a ceremony in Arlington, Virginia... the name of Veronica Guerin and... 38 other international journalists who died in the line of duty were added to the Freedom Forum journalist. Ironically, she was supposed to speak at the Freedom Forum conference 2 days after her murder.
Aww. Jesus.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, she was going to speak at that, but died 2 days beforehand. Yeah. So, that's the story of Veronica Guerin.
So, they actually charged that one dude with it, right?
Yeah. It's pretty dark.
He say why he did it, or if he was hired to do it?
I didn't look it up. Jesus. Honestly, I didn't want to give him the light because she was so powerful.
Yeah, she
was. We're women for women here, so, you know.
She was a badass.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though, that she died the same way.
There has to be some kind of either connection there, or they wanted to do her the way that she first came out of the, like,
oh, because that was the story that brought her.
That was the one that brought her
to the light.
Yeah.
Dang, that's rough.
Yep. But if you have time, you should look her up because she's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Is there a movie or something made about her?
There is a movie, and I think it was in, like, 1998, maybe there's a movie. I don't know. I think it was 98. I don't know. I've never seen it. How did I look it up?
Okay. I thought there was a movie made about her, but I couldn't remember or not.
And we heard of her because Ken sent her to us. And he was...
Yeah, our listener in Ireland.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ken. Hope things are well.
The movie is called... Oh, the movie's called Veronica
Guerin. Isn't Kate Blanchett or something Veronica? Or am I, like, way off?
No, hold on, let me see. It's called Veronica Guerin, and it was produced in 2003.
Oh.
And it's... Yes.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I remember things.
Yep, it is Kate Blanchett.
Hmm.
Yeah, good job.
I'm sure it's a pretty good movie.
Will you be watching it?
Are we going to watch it?
I don't know. We probably could watch it. I think that's one you would be able to watch. I mean, it's probably full of heists and stuff. You would like it, probably.
Yeah. You never did finish American Animals.
I did not.
It's pretty good.
Shelby's fostering a puppy, guys.
I am. He's asleep in my lap. His name's Gregory.
You know what? That's what we should do. We should shout out. Recommendation here. Always adopt from a shelter.
Adopt, don't shop, and get your pets fixed.
Yeah. What shall we say?
Yes. I have 3 that I adopted. 3 cats. Now I'm fostering a puppy.
My dogs fell in my lap, so.
Yeah. Gregory was dumped somewhere with his sister, but we never found his sister. But he's here.
Speaking of pets, we have an email.
Do we?
We have an email.
Oh, we have an email account.
heistandslice@gmail.com. Send us pictures of your friends, your pet friends. Pets. Or your friends. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
We'll post them on our Instagram, if I remember.
We will, eventually. Ken's dog is on there. Bailey. Bailey's on there.
Oh, she's cute.
Little cutie.
And we have a picture of Shelby's poor, may she rest in peace, Martha.
Yeah, she's deceased. I don't think the boys and potatoes on there.
No, but we probably should put them on there.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. We have an Instagram, Heist and Slice Podcast.
Yep.
And then Facebook, which is Heist and Slice. All spelled the same way as it is here.
Yep. And feel free to add me on Snapchat.
Anything else you would like? Oh, yes. Shelby wants you to add her on Snapchat.
Yeah. I put all of our, like, podcast stuff on there.
What's your at?
My what?
What's your name on Snapchat?
Oh, Ruberta57, Ruberta 57. I usually post a lot on Fridays when we do our podcasts, and on my cats, which Clarence is super overweight right now. He's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I'm getting sleepy right now.
He looks like a blonde no-face from...
Spirited Away.
Yeah, he does. All right, well, we're just lingering now. We've missed you guys, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. The winter hits, and you know, the winter blues... And then it's just...
And then we talk about heavy stuff, so it makes it even worse.
And then when Nora, like last week when Nora got here, we just took a nap. and forgot really do it. To do the podcast. Not that we forgot, we were just...
Well, then, sometimes your computer doesn't really want to cooperate with us, so...
It doesn't. It does not. I didn't think we were going to tonight, but it finally came on.
Anyway, send us your thoughts.
Next week is a heist. I think it's going to be a female. I haven't done a female heister yet.
I'm working on finding slices that are, like...
You have a couple of requests still, too.
Yeah, I do. But I would like to find some that's not as so dark. Like, we feel dark telling it. Like, maybe some, like, dumbass hired, you know, hires that never happened. Kind of like your podcast that you had. You know, hire for murders, but they never happen.
Oh, they become friends and the redheaded in Mexico, Mexico, where the hitman was hired to kill him. They had to go too. I think that's episode 15.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nora has a few requests lined up. She will eventually get to them. I think she's going to do one that she wants to do next.
No, I know. I think I'm going to do a request. But I will tell you, one of the requests that we do have is pretty dark. So
which one is it?
Saddle up. I can't remember.
How many requests do you have?
Two.
Two? What's the other one?
My little brother requested one.
Oh.
It's pretty dark.
And then the one that the other dude requested, who hasn't even listened to the podcast.
Nah.
But, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, have a good day, night, wherever you are.
Bye!